You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Calling all lovers of mystery, prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own ability.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
Settle down now.
Smart people, dumb topics forever.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium.
Mm-hmm. We are the pop culture professors. We're smart people talking dumb topics.
I'm Lauren Brickman.
And I'm Caitlin Bitsaguy.
And believe it or not, we both have master's degrees and have been allowed in classrooms teaching children.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. Shout out to any of my students or coworkers at any of the higher educational institutes where I currently work. I know you're as shocked as I am.
So those coworkers that are trying to distance themselves from you, they're going to learn about stanning today.
Yes,
what
are.
Is stanning, Lauren?
Well, it's being an obsessive fan of something, you know, a TV show, a film, right. A power couple, or in your case, Caitlin, oftentimes inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that does bring me to my stan of the week. Mm-hmm. My stan this week is the new banana almond milk that is available. I'm loving it. And I know that like about 90% of the population goes through a grocery store and is like, who keeps buying banana shit? Why is it available to the public? And it's because those of us that like banana really like it. And we're going after it. So we see it, we're buying it. And if you have to advocate for your flavors. I'm sorry. I'm not here to apologize.
You know, I was going to excuse myself and just leave when I saw that banana almond milk.
Yeah, you have your coat on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I wasn't feeling safe when I saw that this was going to be your stand of the week. But I have to say, I've recently discovered a banana latte at a coffee shop near my house.
And all right.
And it's changed me. I'm a changed person. So I get it. I have more compassion in my heart and more understanding. And I'm going to try not to be so judgmental.
Wow. So you've walked a mile in my shoes and you see? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. Well, what are you standing? Educate me.
Well, speaking of walking a mile in people's shoes, I feel... Okay. Now, listeners who have been with us since the beginning, when I say that I'm about to admit that I have like a dirty little secret, you're probably thinking, well, all of her taste is questionable, so why is she feeling embarrassed now? But right. There is something that I really, truly love. I love the Netflix series Jack Whitehall Travels with My Father.
Okay.
If you don't know Jack Whitehall.
I don't know.
Okay. British comedian, does a lot of stand-up, but I first fell in love with him because he was played like the Lothario rake kind of idiot on this British TV show called Fresh Meat about college students. Loved it. Anyways, his dad, Michael Whitehall, is a very successful talent manager and producer. He repped Judi Dench at one point. He repped Colin Firth. Maybe you've heard of them.
Yes, I see Mamma Mia.
Of course, Colin Firth's seminal film, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
But a couple of years. Get out of here. In that. No, that's Hugh Grant. Even I know that, and I haven't seen the movie.
No, it's Hugh Bonneville is the one that I mixed it up with.
I'm even more embarrassed for you. Anyways,
Jack Bridget Jones.
Get out of here.
You Britain.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Keep going. All right. So the show, Caitlin, I actually
London. Think you would really...
Funny you should bring up London, because this series is on Netflix, and it's been, I think they did the first one in like 2018, but the first season, it was a travel series where Jack, this like young kind of hip guy, takes his very stodgy old father to Southeast Asia, and they go on a trip. And then they did one in Australia, they did one in the United States, they did one on Eastern Europe, and they thought they were going to be done, but then they decided to do one last 2-episode special, and it just dropped this week, and it's in their home country, it's in the UK, they start off in London. It's very, I think it's just like silly and stupid, and at the end of the day, even when they're bickering, like these guys just love each other. It's fun to see like a guy and his dad just love each other, even when they're telling each other to fuck off, you know?
Nice. It is. We don't get a lot of that. No. Not a lot of media. Father, no. Sons just having fun.
And they get the assignment. They get the assignment and they're doing it each time. Anyway, so that's what I'm standing right now. Jack Whitehall, Travels with My Father on Netflix. If you're watching it too, slide into my DMs. Let me know what you think about Winston. Have they gone too far? If you know, you know.
Absolutely. Slide in. But you know, someone we always stan.
This week's guest.
That's right. This week's guest. Today we have... with her new book, The One You Want to Marry and Other Identities I've Had, please welcome Sophie Santos.
Hi. Hi, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed your stands. I was trying not to audibly laugh, but I was laughing internally.
Because you were so embarrassed that Caitlin likes banana almond milk.
Yeah, I can never, I actually almost logged off. That was,
it's hard.
That was too much for me. It's hard because I'm also a coffee snob. And I admit to it. I just like a simple iced cortado with oat milk, single shot only. I will ask the barista if they pull double shots, which most of the time they do. And so I say, give the other shot to another guest or yourself, but please leave it out of my drink.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
Wow.
Consider it. Consider it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I couldn't add flavor. Like, I couldn't add any sort of.
To be clear.
Sounds like torture.
To be clear, if I have coffee, it's black. When I have a latte, it's a dessert. It's a different adventure I'm on.
Mm-hmm. I feel you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, coffee is black but I have no self-control. So only having one shot sounds unimaginable to me. Just give me a pot of black coffee and a straw. Well, shockingly, today's episode's not actually about artisan coffee.
Which we maybe should have done a redo.
Maybe,
But you know, each week we choose a pop culture topic, and we chose one I would say avant-garde, even. Lauren, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good word.
The angle is interesting.
Yeah.
And we've taken it from Sophie's monthly show, The Lesbian Agenda. And today we're talking about agendas.
Okay, great.
So, pop culture agendas.
So, Caitlin, what is your credential this week?
Well, I was once appeared in an anti-jaywalking PSA in Philadelphia. It was a local Philadelphia PSA.
Wow.
Anti-jaywalking, which I guess is a big problem. Was, of course, now that this is aired.
You saved lives.
It's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no more jaywalking in Philadelphia.
Wow. Well, I guess my credential this week is that I am currently serving as secretary of the faculty senate at one of the schools that I work at. And iconically, I think I said in a meeting this week, what do we stand for? What is our purpose? Where is our agenda? So I'm on the record as being an advocate for agendas.
Where is our agenda?
Yeah, I said it. And I meant it. Sophie, obviously, huge credential being the host and creator of The Lesbian Agenda. Any other credentials in the world of pop culture agendas?
I'm also, I just want to say I am the Supreme Chancellor of that of that group.
Yeah.
So that's...
Oh, yeah, we know.
Wanted to okay, good. Yeah, it's gotten all the way back to you guys. That's good. Yeah, you know what? I once taught 7th and 8th graders commercial marketing and advertising. As part of a summer enrichment program that I was not allowed to call it a camp. And I didn't major in, I had 6 different majors at one point and didn't major once in commercial marketing and advertising, and somehow got the job and was teaching them about how commercials can sometimes brainwash you. And I succeeded. And they, I think I was one of their favorite teachers out of the entire staff. So
nice. I would bet they love that. Do you guys have this when you were kids? I think it was on Nickelodeon. Linda Ellerbe would host like Nick News.
Yeah.
And it was always like exposing commercials, and I would just watch it endlessly of being like, this is how they make the toy look good. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they were, their minds were blown. I remember specifically seeing like what we would do is we'd watch a commercial and I'd have them guess what they thought the product was. And there was this one where they're like in the four. It's like, it was beautiful. The cinematic, the cinematography was gorgeous. And they're just like, you're like in the woods and there's like tea lights. Ooh. And it's just like, you know, lanterns are being flown up into the sky and everyone's just like laughing and having a good time. And just like, you're like, oh, you know, this feels kind of car commercially, but like, what is this? And the most ASMR whisper came on at the very end and said, Absolut Vodka. It's for us all. And I was like,
that's problematic.
This is problematic. I was like, I want to go to this party. This sounds really great. You're making it seem like there was no cups. There's no drinking. It's just being one with the trees. And the kids were like, what? It was great. Well, awesome.
That credit makes me feel very confident that you're about to crush our first game.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Absolutely. because this game is called The Liberal Agenda for Kids. So, conservatives have been claiming Hollywood has been indoctrinating the kiddos for decades. I'm going to give you the claim made by conservatives, and you're going to tell me the name of the movie. Sophie, are you ready?
Oh, sure. I don't think I have a choice, but yeah.
I can feel it. You're going to crush it.
All right. Conservatives felt the theme of this Disney classic was animals good, humans bad, as the humans in the film showed no sympathy for the plight of the lost animal.
So it's definitely not We Live in a Zoo, because that's not Disney.
It's not. We love the work. We love seeing the work.
Is it a Disney Channel original movie?
No.
Big Disney.
Love the question.
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah.
Finding Nemo?
Yes!
Wow. Iconic.
All right. 1 out of 1. Number 2. Former Vice President Mike Pence personally penned an op-ed about how this movie could encourage girls to want to go into combat.
Is it a Mulan?
Yes! Yeah. Yeah, he wrote an op-ed about the dangers of Mulan.
I love it.
All right. Number 3. Conservatives were furious when the entire energy industry was the unexpected villain in this sequel to a blue-collar favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not WALL-E.
No, it's not.
Oof, this is tough. Is this Disney?
Adjacent. Disney adjacent.
Oh, it's Pixar. Only Pixar. Yeah, that's right. It's a Pixar only. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, it was the energy. It's not. It can't be like Cars.
This one's hard. They get harder.
Cars, it is. It's like... Cars 2.
Yeah!
Cars 2, yes. That was surprising. And apparently they were correct. Mm-hmm. The maker said specifically, yes, you're right. The energy industry is the villain of this film.
I love that.
This one is wild. They do get harder as we go along. The New York Post Kyle Smith called this movie in a review Kitty Karl Marx because of its global warming, vegetarian, and pro-LGBT agenda.
Oh my God.
If you get this one, I'm really happy for you, but it's Kitty Karl Marx.
You got me.
All right. It's Happy Feet 2.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that. I never would have gotten it.
Well, I guess there's two penguins that appear to be a couple that are both voiced by male celebrities. So that is LGBT agenda.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also penguins are actually pretty gay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like a thing, that penguins are gay and like lesbian and queer. And
true. But I don't think that's a big emphasis of the movie. But Kyle Smith felt it was. Mm-hmm. The final one, this is our hardest one. Conservatives felt the theme was rich, bad, poor, good, due to the villainous nature of the character Tex Richmond, an oil man. An oil man villain named Tex Richmond. Great name.
I'm just going to say that I think it is Hercules. It's not.
That would have been great. I love that. I wish it was. I wish it was too.
I wish there was an oil man in Hercules. Yeah, it is the Muppets. 2011's the Muppets.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never would have gotten that.
Well, you know, you got 3 out of 5.
And that's
great. Got most of them. And, you know, you don't really want to be in the minds of these people too much. You know, you want to be able to get the clues, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better that I don't have the same brain as them.
Exactly.
I feel safer. You know, actually, I feel safer with a 3 out of 5. Sophie, unfortunately, you did such a good job that actually the conservative right are blowing up our phones. We actually need to take, we're getting some strong, worded emails and voicemails. So we're going to take a quick minute to try and calm them down so they stop riding our virtual studios, and we'll be right back.
Okay, I understand.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right. Well, thankfully, we distracted the far right callers and told them to check out a new show that was coming to Netflix that we were sure had an agenda. So they'll be busy for the next half hour while we finish recording.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to present a thesis if you guys would allow.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the movie. Okay. Be Kind, Rewind. Do you guys even remember this movie, or have you seen it?
I remember it coming out, but I've never seen it.
Okay, great. Because it helps me, because my agenda to prove this right, what are you going to do? So I think the agenda of Be Kind, Rewind was to force millennials via embarrassment to grow up. And we should have said no. Yeah. So this film, let me describe. It is a Michel Gondry film of Eternal Sunshine. So many things. Science of Sleep. So it has a sort of magical realism feel. But it's also like a comedy. And this is where it kind of bridges two time periods. And I think why it was so of the moment and so great then is like no one's ever going to rewatch this movie because it was so 2008. And so it's Jack Black and Mos Def work in a video store. Yeah. When some videos are gone, they get erased and they recreate the movies and then rent them out and then claim their Swedish versions. This is so 80s and 90s, like harebrained comedy. Absolutely insane. And the fun is them recreating Ghostbusters, you know, things like that. Like it's a real joyride of a film, but like, I remember I saw this in theaters in Manhattan with other 20 somethings at the time. And we walked out and we like loved it. We're like, this is like a generational film for us. Like it is bridging like the old school, the blockbuster, the nostalgia of the 80s and 90s with this like more sophisticated future, this like more sophisticated art that we're going to be enjoying. I felt. And Jack Black is always 27 years old.
Sure.
So, you know, he's going to be Gen Z soon. And I can't wait. I can't wait for Gen Z Kung Fu Panda. but like, I remember really being inspired by this film. And like, I think like, perhaps, I don't know, I kind of think it was intentional. But like, whether it was or not, what me and my friends who saw it really got out of it was like, wow, we got this future. This movie is proving it to us. And it's like, this wasn't true. I have no idea if it's a good film anymore. I loved it. But at the same time, didn't buy it on DVD, which was an option back then. It was just something so of that moment. And I think it's so interesting. And I think the agenda didn't fail. It's just, it failed us.
Wow.
That's my thoughts.
Wow, that's so interesting. I have never seen this film, but I did have a very strong reaction to his film, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That film almost changed the trajectory of my entire life. I walked.
See, Gondry's doing it.
Gondry has some sort of power because I think I saw that film. I forget when it came out exactly, but I was in high school and walked into that theater confident I was going to go to school for acting. Came out going, nope, I'm going for film. And really almost changed my college applications because of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Because you were so moved.
I just loved it. I was like, cinema is powerful.
Yes. Like, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And and I think that the thing is that movie is like pretty serious. I mean, it has some fun moments, but Be Kind Rewind is like very lighthearted. So I think it had that same thing you felt, but it's also like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, come in, be an adult. But we should have said no.
Yeah.
We're not doing it.
Sophia, are there films or filmmakers that have made you feel like, yes, I need to grow up or I should change my entire worldview and do something different?
Well, first of all, I do want to like comment on Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Of course.
That movie, like you even mentioning it right now, makes my stomach want to churn.
Yeah.
It is. Whew. I think I will always be fucked up by that movie.
Yeah, certainly.
And I'm actually kind of mad at him about it. Because I didn't need to feel that. I didn't need to feel that.
I get you.
I don't want to. So anyway, that's all I have to say about that. Unfortunately, I haven't seen Be Kind Rewind, but I do appreciate you enjoying that movie.
Well, I do think it is interesting, though. I will say this. You talked, Caitlin, about how that movie was so impactful, but you chose not to buy the DVD.
I was thinking about that, too.
I did buy Eternal Sunshine. And the amount of times that I willingly watched that movie, chose to watch that movie, and then feel the pain that Sophie described just over and over again. That's something I'm going to need to unpack for a while.
There, you know, Sophie, you bring up such an interesting point about, like, I feel like there was a time, you know, when you're a kid, you're just watching whatever's fun, whatever's cool. And then, like, you get smart. And you got to watch all the smart movies that make you feel, like, garbage. And then I feel like as I get older, I'm like, that movie was amazing. I wish I had not watched it. And I my life is worse now. Like there's like emotional ones where I'm like, yeah, I didn't need to be that smarter. I just feel worse now. The movie I'm thinking of is Boat People, which is this Vietnamese film I watched. And it is from 1982. And if you just want to see everything, imagine everything that can go wrong for a family. It happens. Sure. And then as soon as you think you have, like, there's the last hour of the film. And you're like, oh, my God. Well, and I was like, I learned a lot. Wish I was stupider.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have the wherewithal to understand what's going on.
Right.
And that would be great. Or maybe why don't I just take a fucking machine and delete my brain, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, that's not your original idea. I see.
Well, positive note. Mm-hmm. Positive. Yes. Big Jon Favreau fan. Big Jon Favreau fan. Big Jon Favreau fan. I'm a huge Iron Man fan. And I'm a big Marvel head. But also, he directed Elf. And Elf, to me, is maybe one of the funniest movies of all time. It's a great comedy. Will Ferrell is truly at his best. I think he should have won an Oscar for it. I think Zooey Deschanel is perfectly charming. I think, you know, down to, my God, of course I'm forgetting the name of both of Buddy's parents, who are
James Caan and Mary Steenburgen.
Yes.
And also Bob Newhart, right?
Is yes. The I mean, North it's Pole. Just like, it's just the cast. It just, I watch it every holiday. And I do love that Jon Favreau is like not shy to put himself in his own movies. and that to me is great. And I love it because he plays the dentist in Elf, which I think is very funny.
That's right.
It's so funny that you bring up Elf. Shout out to my little brother who listens to this podcast every week, because he's probably freaking out right now because it's his favorite movie. He owns every piece of Elf merchandise you could possibly own.
Ask him if he has the cups.
I wonder if he has the cups.
David, do you have the cups?
I will find out, because the kid has a onesie. He's got the cereal. He's got everything. But so I, too, I've seen this a million times. It's I kind of feel like I haven't seen Be Kind Rewind, but it sounds like they're kind of the antithesis, right? Like Be Kind Rewind is like forcing millennials to grow up, whereas Elf was the one that's like, oh, but actually we never actually fully have to, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what happens when you do? What happens when you do? You are emotionless. You don't treat your wife kind. You're not kind to your wife. You're a workaholic. You don't spend time with your son.
Yeah.
Who just looks up to you. And that's what happens when you decide to grow up. And
really, Buddy, that dichotomy between these two films is the millennial struggle.
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally think so. And it was interesting. Like, I just think it's so hard. Like, this, I started to talk about Be Kind Rewind. I was like, they won't have seen this movie. And I went with it anyway, because I was like, I just think it was such a specific moment that, like, you just, if you missed it, you missed it, which is weird for our modern culture, because everything's like streaming, everything's like, it's interesting to me what things feel like are going to be seminal and what really is.
Well, it's interesting because it came out at a time, like, it came out, I think, in my junior or senior year of college, which was just not a time when movies were not like easy to go to at that time period of my life, right? It was an effort to like get to the movie theater. And
Well, you know what's funny and why I probably think of it as so generational? I remember the preview before the movie was Martin Scorsese's like documentary about the Rolling Stones. And it just felt like baby boomers. Jesus Christ. You need another movie about this? Like, my God. So I think that's part of why it felt so in relief. Like, it felt like so for us, even though, again, it was made by a much older man starring for sure Gen Xers. but again, Jack Black will be Gen Z soon. And let me change my thesis to Jack Black will be Gen Z soon. And
yeah, and you know what?
Rest my case.
And I think that's great. Well, you know what? I think I feel revved up and ready to go into game number two. And Sophie, as mentioned earlier, being the chancellor of the lesbian agenda, I think this is a game where you're really going to thrive and shine today.
Great.
you know, having done a deep dive on your social media, I've now learned that lesbians are taking over the world and you are leading that charge, from what I can tell, Sophie.
Yes.
As the host of the Lesbian Agenda, you're automatically, it seems, the official spokesperson for the literal Lesbian Agenda. Is this correct?
I am, yes.
Fabulous. Yeah. Okay, so Hollywood actually called us prior to starting to...
Do you say Pollywood?
Hollywood.
Oh,
but well, that's a good idea.
I'm already in the queer mindset. So.
But I love this. They also called. Okay. But Hollywood called. They heard you were going to do our show, and you know, I don't know if you know this, but famously, Hollywood calls often while we're recording to offer contracts and deals. And when they heard you were coming, they said,
"That's why I did the pod."
Yeah, of course.
Exactly why I did the pod.
Yeah, no, they said we have to get Sophie Santos on board as the EP for several upcoming reboots of popular 90s romances, because it's time to do a queer take on these. So we're doing a little game that we like to call Pitch Fire, but we're doing the Lesbian Agenda edition. So I'm going to give you the name of a iconic 90s romance that was unfortunately heteronormative, and you are going to use that incredible lesbian agenda to tell us how a reboot would fix it. Are you ready, Sophie Santos?
I'm so ready.
All right. Give us your fresh sapphic take for While You Were Sleeping. While You Were Sleeping is the iconic film starring Sandra Bullock, who is a shy attendant at the Chicago subway station. She falls in love with Peter Gallagher. One day he falls, hits his head, ends up in a coma, and she tells his family accidentally that she's his fiance. Long story short, she falls in love with his brother, played by Bill Pullman. It's quirky, it's family, it's holidays. How are we going to fix this so it's not so heteronormative?
Well, first of all, so she's on the train, right? So she's hanging out on the train, and before she even gets to see Peter Gallagher, I think that she starts talking to the train conductor, who is full les.
Okay.
And is probably, you know, played by whoever who's the actress in Gilmore Girls, who is like, oh, she, and she's iconic right now in Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Alex. She was the original Sookie, but then she ended up playing a bunch of bit parts.
Right.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm gonna find her name.
Yeah, so she's actually the train conductor.
Okay.
And so they're chatting, and this Peter Gallagher guy falls and hits his head, and she's like, "Well, shit, this is my train, so I gotta do something about it."
Wow.
And then they've met, they've been conversing. It's only been 5 minutes, but they do feel like they are the loves of each other's lives. And so she's like, "Well, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna come along to the hospital." And they go to the hospital together. And they're just like, you know, really hanging out. They're like hanging out in the, you know, in the coffee area, really worried about this man, but also not really worried because they just don't really know him, but she's just doing her job. And then ultimately they fall in love. And when the brother comes along, the brother is, you know, just kind of has a bit part, and she says, "Hey, hey, yeah, your brother's in there," and then that's pretty much it.
Wow, it's like so your take is it's sort of a sliding doors situation where the premise remains the same, except what would happen if she met this conductor played by Alex Borstein. Wow, I love it. It sounds great. I look forward to seeing it. I'll be there opening weekend. But you know what else I'm excited about? I'm excited about the remake of Titanic. How are we going to make, how do we make Titanic a lesbian love story?
Well, to be honest, it's already pretty lesbian because Leonardo DiCaprio is for sure a soft butch.
All right.
Has a lot of lesbian energy.
Wow.
Has a lesbian haircut. And is wanting to draw pictures of his lover, which, as we know, like, you like to do that apparently. Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Titanic was ahead of its time in lesbianism. But I would say the way we make it a little bit gayer is all we would have to do, because I do think they're lesbians, is we would make the the captain of the ship have a moment.
Okay.
And have a moment with one of his admirals. And when before he goes down, before he sinks, he says, "You know, I've always loved you."
Wow.
And wow. Okay. And then he says, "But you have to go because this is my ship."
Wow.
And okay. I won't let you drown.
And wow, he that's beautiful.
Puts him on the boat with the men and the women. Well, of course, because it's mm-hmm. both mm-hmm. everybody. With the women. Mm-hmm. Actually, he just puts him on the boat with the women wow. and children. That's what wow. I meant. Okay.
Powerful.
And then he walks back and he takes his hat off and he sinks.
Emotional.
The solution is that it sounds like Titanic was already a lesbian love story, so we're just making it more inclusive to the and making it a true queer love story. Right. Wow, I love this. I love this. Well, both of these films sound so fun. I can't wait to hear what you're going to do to 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. How are we going to make it less basic?
So, I think that Julia Stiles, I understand that she gets wrapped up in Heath Ledger. I get it.
Yeah, sure.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's not so much of what's happening in this movie. It's what's happening after.
Wow.
I think when she reads the letter, she realizes, and they fall in love. I think she realizes, oh my God, the way I convey my emotions is via letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing up in front of the entire class and I'm crying, which is very lesbian to me.
Oh,
and I think when she finally gets with Heath Ledger and she's like happy, I think
She realizes,
oh shit, I had this wrong the whole time because I'm just a teenager.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
I have been in denial. I've been obsessed with this boy. And yeah. I'm gay.
Wow, this is giving me chills. So what I'm hearing is that in the reboot, when we pick things up, it's actually at the moment in which the movie ends is where we pick up. And this film is actually called 10 Things I've Learned About Me.
Yes, wow. 10 Things I've Learned About Me. And we pick up and she's just like really happy and she's like driving a car and she's just like looking over and there's this new girl that's like right next to her and she's like, doesn't need him. Yeah, because she's been to college and she's just like, whoa, this was crazy. I like really obsessed over this person that I didn't need to.
I love that. I love that for Kat Stratford. Kat Stratford living her best life. All right.
Absolutely.
And also the lesbian was lesbian. Kat Stratford.
Yeah.
It's pretty gay.
We love to hear it. All right. Final question is, you know, part of your overall deal with Hollywood, you know, as one gets, because overall deals with all of Hollywood are very common. You are being given the power to not just be executive producer, but to pick a film from the 90s that you get to star in and bring the lesbian agenda to it. So of all of the 90s rom-coms out there, which one would you most want to drop yourself at the center stage of and help the lesbian agenda continue its worthy cause and mission?
Wow. You know, I'm just thinking really quickly.
Of course. It's a lot. I know it's a huge decision. You know, Hollywood is banging down your door. They're desperate for your point of view. It's a lot of pressure. So
you know what? You know what I would say?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Richard Gere.
Wow. What are we going to do? Oh my God.
We're removing him.
Oh my God. I have chills.
And I am now in Pretty Woman.
Okay. I like where this is going.
And I rescue.
Wow. And instead of Pretty Woman, it's now Pretty Women.
It's Pretty Women. It's pretty women. I am now trying to help my friend, Julia Roberts, Vivian. And I'm just trying to help her clean up her act. I'm going to pay for this because I care about you, but it's really like, you don't have to sleep with me. I don't want you to feel like you need to sleep with me. Like, this is really just me being a good friend.
Wow.
And then she's like, but I, you know, of course, over the course of like a couple of days, because it's only over a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She's like, but I want to sleep with you.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, well, I've been paying for your thing, so this does feel like prostitution. And she says, well, tonight you don't have to pay for any. Tonight, I'll be on my own.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, what if we just go on a date? And I take her on a date, and I'm like, you know, I'm paying for something, but this is just like, this is just us on a date.
Yeah.
And then we end up making beautiful, sweet love.
Great.
Wow. And she's like, not only do I not want to be not a stripper, because you know, strippers can, that's very important. I understand.
She might want to be.
She might want to be. But I don't want to be, I know my self-worth, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with prostitution, but for her, she wants to do something else.
She feels empowered to make a decision for herself.
And I say, you know what? What if that's with me?
Wow.
Wow.
And at the end, I go and pick her up in my limo. And,
love that.
And then we go off together. Not only is she changing her profession, but she's also, her sexual orientation has now been discovered.
And I feel like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like Tegan and Sarah do the entire soundtrack.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of Katie Lang in there.
Ooh, okay.
And I do think there's a little bit of Melissa Etheridge, and there has to be some classics. Indigo Girls.
Oh, we're going classic. Okay.
And we're also, there's a, and as we're rolling away in my limo, Tracy Chapman's I got a fast car.
Wow.
Wow.
Iconic.
A happy ending set to Fast Car is.
And our hand on her leg. Ugh. And we're rolling off into the sunset. And
wow,
that's it.
That's incredible. Well, Sophie, we're going to take one more quick break just so we can ink the deal with Hollywood, make sure that all of these films go into production, and we'll be right back. Wow, the ink's not even dry, but I heard that tomorrow's day one of shooting for Pretty Women, and I can't wait to be there at Sundance when it premieres.
Let's not forget, it is called Pretty Women now. Mm-hmm, that is mm-hmm. the key.
That's one of the most important parts.
That's one of the most important parts.
Absolutely. Before we say goodbye today, I have a short thesis to share with you all. And I'm going to admit, I'm not breaking any new ground today. You know, a quick Google search showed me that a lot of people have actually written graduate degree dissertations on this very topic. But, you know, one of the downsides, and there's very few, but one of the few downsides of living alone is that in the middle of the night when I have insomnia, I don't have anyone to talk to. And this is something that's just been on my mind in the wee hours of the morning, because many of you have heard on previous episodes, I've been really drawn to rewatching teen dramas, which is not, this isn't necessarily new for me, but I've been watching, you know, I have my shows that I've always sort of been drawn to, like comfort blankets, like the amount of times I've watched Dawson's Creek should be illegal. I can't.
Some states are passing.
I can't believe I don't have a restraining order filed against me by anyone in that cast. But there are other shows that I watched in real time that I'm rewatching for the first time. Right, I rewatched The Fosters recently. I rewatched Greek recently, and right now, I am deeply embedded in a rewatch for the first time since it aired of the TV show Make It or Break It, which, if y'all weren't familiar, Make It or Break It followed aspirational young elite gymnasts on their way to the Olympics. And this was a real...
Timely. And it's actually pretty topical right now.
Thank you. Well, and I think the reason it's been... The show is hitting so different, right? I first watched the show, I think it came on in like 2009. It came on, I think, my last year of college, and I watched it through my last year of grad school. I think those were sort of the years it was on. And I used to watch it. It was just fun to like watch women be really like tumbling all the time and strong. And I remember when it first aired thinking it was a pretty like feminist show, but I gotta tell you, on this rewatch, and it could be the news cycle, it could be all of the bullshit going on in Texas with the abortion bans, and, you know, I've been having my own frustrations with, like, the industrial medical complex and how women are being treated. So, like, I'm a little revved up as I'm going into this rewatch, but I have to say, the theme of today's episode is agendas, and I feel like Make It or Break It and so many of my favorite teen dramas and teen shows over the years have had a misogynistic agenda of how we deal with, talk about, and feel about teen girls' virginity.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me gets the fact that, like, I'm choosing to watch shows about teenagers, and part of being a teenager is growing up and, like, your body changing and your feelings changing. And so, like, of course, a coming of age story oftentimes is going to delve into the world of virginity and storylines with virginities. But my God, the I like rewatching this, like, I'm in the middle of this storyline right now that is all about how one of the, because the gymnasts aren't supposed to be having boyfriends. And I get it. They want to keep them eyes on the prize for the Olympics. On one hand, I kind of get it. But, like, the amount of airtime spent with adults talking about teenagers' virginities is really wild. And I'm in the middle of an episode where I had forgotten that, like, an adult couple breaks up because they disagree about how they're dealing with the issues of sex and virginity with their children. Like, a man dumps his girlfriend because he thinks that she's a bad influence on his daughter. It's like some of the lines, they're just,
wow.
This show is hitting so differently.
Is this ABC Family?
It was an ABC Family, which used to be Fox Family, which is now Freeform.
Freeform. Yeah. And Freeform's better. Freeform is with it.
Well, I think that's the thing. And you just sort of hit the nail on the head. I think, like, as upset as I was getting watching this, and then I like took a break from Make It or Break It and was rewatching Dawson's Creek and being like, oh my God, the amount of time we spent talking about Joey's virginity and how we talked about Joey's virginity and the fights Dawson had. Like, it's like, so I was like, all of those shows did it. Buffy did it. One Tree Hill, like all of my favorite shows. And I was getting all revved up being like, oh my God, all of these things that I loved were so backwards. But then I took a breath and got excited because I do think it's changing. I think the conversations we're having, they're not always perfect. But I do think, you know, as a grown woman who's still watching a lot of teen content.
You're not alone.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's all I watch.
It's, you know, millennials. We're trapped between Elf and Be Kind Rewind. It's our place.
Yeah, that's the thesis of this whole pod.
But I was curious if you all felt the same way. Like, that misogynistic agenda, that, like, need to control when and how a teenage woman loses her virginity feels like it is so a part of the fabric of those shows. But it feels like we're lightening up the reins a little bit. But I don't know if I'm... Yeah, what do you think?
I agree. I have something that's actually, it's in line with this, but it takes it a step further.
Tell me.
So I do agree. We always put all this emphasis on the virginity. You know, when is Brooke Shields going to lose her virginity?
Or
or she already lost it and she's a slut. You know, and it's all of these things. And then, like, why would you want to be with her? And yes, that's a big thing. Let's put ourselves in the OC for a second.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
California, we're there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And do we remember when Marissa went full les with Olivia Wilde?
Yeah. I think I think about it twice a day, at least.
Olivia Wilde. And it is the Olivia Wilde that we know. It is the Olivia Wilde of Booksmart. It's the Olivia Wilde formerly married to Ted Lasso. It is the Olivia Wilde who is now dating Harry Styles. It is that Olivia Wilde.
And to your, I'm assuming based on your point about Leo being a lesbian, that you would agree Olivia is now in a lesbian relationship with Harry Styles. I'm trying to figure out if that math works. I don't know. You tell me, Chancellor.
No, because I don't think Harry Styles... I think Timothy Chalamet is a lesbian. I don't think Harry Styles is a lesbian.
And you explained it all to me. I now understand everything I need to know about the math.
Timothy Chalamet wears athleisure and he wears rings, and we are behind ring culture and athleisure. Well, we're not lesbian. That's POC culture. Athleisure is POC culture. But for ring culture, that is lesbianism.
Okay.
At its finest.
Okay.
And I think Harry Styles tries too hard. But okay, so here's the thing.
Good to know.
But lesbians try hard all the time, so that is a lesbian. Okay, so we're here. We're
in the OC.
We're in the OC, and I remember at the time when I was a wee little one, and mm-hmm. I remember Olivia Wilde coming into the fold, and I was furious that she had stolen Marissa from Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. this woman was a witch
mm-hmm.
and okay. had poisoned Marissa's brain. And like when she's like hooking up with her, and like I remember the moment that they kissed on the beach. And I write about it in the book, because when I eventually realized that what they were doing was actually great and was ahead of its time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That became my porn, where she says they're sitting on the beach and we all know that they're going to kiss, and there's a wave and the wave ripples, and Olivia Wilde goes, "The tide just turned."
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then they kiss, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. However, everyone was mad at Marissa and everyone was mad at Olivia Wilde, because they were like, what you're doing to Ryan is fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you being with this girl is fucked up. And that is misogyny at its core, where we're like, we bring this, so I say it's ahead of its time, but it's also so behind the time, because we bring this lesbian storyline, but it really was just to show that Marissa was unhinged and chaotic, and that she was just, this was a distraction, and it was really, ultimately, it didn't mean anything, because she's just, because it couldn't.
Mm.
And Ryan, and she, and Olivia Wilde took her from Ryan, and that was the narrative. And as a kid, as someone who didn't know they were gay, I was like on board. And I would, every time I see Olivia Wilde, I was like, she's just, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah. No, it's really complicated. And it was exactly what you said. On one hand, it's like, oh, they were moving the needle forward. But on the other hand, they're like, were you really? Because you really made her a villain.
Yeah, you know? She was a villain.
Yeah.
She was a villain. So it was like any type of sexuality at all. So it was like the virginity. This did have a point. It was the virginity. Also having any sort of sexuality that didn't involve like the men.
Right. All of those teen, like, 90s, 2000 shows, it was always through the lens of, it was all through the male gaze, right? Like, how is it affecting, I knew it, but, like, it just hit me on such a deeper level. I was like, why are these grown-ups so, it's insane to me. It made me really upset and really angry. It's not going to stop my rewatch. I will finish watching all of Make It or Break It. I will continue to watch Dawson's Creek, to the day I die.
You do need to rewatch The Secret Life of an American Teenager. Anything to do with pregnancy also was like huge. It's like one girl gets pregnant and it's like she's, again, tale as old as time. Oof. She's a sinner.
We may need to do like an entire like week long symposium dedicated to unpacking the perils of Secret Life of the American Teenager, because that show is a conundrum. And but I remember someone, and I was in this writing for TV class in college, and I found out about that show because someone was like, I'm going to write an episode of this. And we all had to like watch an episode of everyone's shows. And I was like, this is Seventh Heaven, but so much darker. Like, it was like, it was like Seventh Heaven, but the writers had seen a couple episodes of Teen Mom, and they were like,
exactly,
we know what's edgy now. Anyways, there's a lot here. I should probably journal about this some more, but thank you all for letting me, you know, unload absolutely on you. I've, you know, last night at 3 a.m. when I was on episode 6 of my watch of the night, I just was frantically thinking about how I need space to do this. Now, Sophie, I'm sure many of our listeners, if they weren't already in stan with you, they're in stan with you now. Where can they follow you?
Hope so.
How can they keep up with you? Where should they be sliding into DMs?
Oh, slide into the DMs. Yes, let's see. You can find me on Instagram. That's my main thing. Mm-hmm. At Sophie E. Santos. That's where I pretty much post about everything. There's a link tree in my bio, which has all the stuff I got going on. My book comes out October 1st, which is like really soon, so which soon. Is pretty
yes.
crazy.
Yes.
Which you can get everywhere. But if you want to make an easy, you know, if you want to go on Amazon.com, if that's your thing. If you're against that, I understand. You can find it in your local bookstore.
Yeah, find it
get
anywhere.
Barnes & Noble. Let's say Barnes & Noble. And I also.
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Nobles. I also do comedic music, and so I've been dropping a lot of music on Spotify, so people
can
check out my Spotify. But again, it's just my name on Spotify, or you just go to that link tree in my bio.
The link tree sounds like the ticket.
Whoa.
It sounds like it's got it all.
We're going to click on that link tree.
Like, go on the link tree, and yeah, it comes out October 1st, the book, and it's crazy, and I'm excited, and we'll see what happens, but, you know. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Thanks for coming and joining us explore the world of agendas.
Agendas and pop culture.
We covered them all. And if you want to cover more topics with us, you can follow us at We Stand Social. We're on Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, you're really missing out. We're having fun there all the time. This week, I've learned so much from our listeners who have been sliding into our DMs. So come join the party if you haven't already. It's at WeStandSocial. We're also sometimes on TikTok. And you can email us, WeStandSocial@gmail.com. Let us know if you've got an idea for a guest, for a topic, or if you do have a way for us to get in touch directly with Joshua Jackson. I am still trying. I haven't heard back from his publicist in a while. I'm thinking they've maybe got some better spam filters.
Any leads are welcome. You know, anything big or small, guys. So until next time, see you, Stan Stans.
Bye.
Bye.
Sarah Michelle Gellar of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality.
Cue the outrage.
Forever.
We stand together.